prayer time. Tonight we're in Isaiah 64. We were here last week looking at that amazing verse about our righteousnesses being as filthy rags. Tonight we are reminded about the fatherhood of our great God here in Isaiah 64 in verse 8. The Bible says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." So thou art our Father. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for, use your word in our hearts this evening to teach us and grow us. And Lord, I pray that you meet with us now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So Israel speaking to God, saying, "Thou art our Father." Remember, they were his children, the children of Israel. But Jesus, when he came on the scene, reminded us that our Creator, our God, is our Father if we are his children, of course. And that, if you go to Matthew 6, Jesus, when he gave us the sample prayer, when he talked about many other aspects of the Christian life, he emphasized the fatherhood of God. And this is really important for us as children of God. Remember, the Bible says in Galatians 3:26, "You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become God's child. Notice Matthew 6:9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father." That's the very first two words of what I would refer to as the model prayer. Many people call it as the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually a model prayer that Jesus gave. He didn't tell us to pray these exact words, because he tells us later not to pray in vain repetitions. But he's teaching us that we need to recognize who we're speaking to when we pray. Our Father. Our Heavenly Father. Now go to Matthew 7, and we'll see it again. Again, talking about prayer. Notice that verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And so he's teaching us through the earthly relationship of a father with his children, how a father wants to be a blessing to his children. He says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, God, the Holy One, the one that always does the right thing, take care of his children, which is, of course, us. And so God will always treat us better than we treat our own children. And that's good news, that our Heavenly Father loves us and always does what's best for us. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter 1, where the Bible teaches us that God, as our Father, wants us to be a certain type of child. Notice 1 Peter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." So notice, as obedient children, every parent would prefer that their children be obedient. Right? God would prefer that his children be obedient. Amen? That we would obey our Father. Because we have been given an amazing, special relationship with our Creator, our God. The day that we got saved, we became his child. He became our Father. Now, this can't be said true of the unsaved. There's a teaching out there that basically says, by virtue of creation, we became God's children. It's actually not true. Matter of fact, Jesus debunked that theory because the Pharisees believed it in John 8 when he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, they didn't want to hear that. They wanted to believe, and it's in Malachi as well, that by virtue of creation, we're God's children, but it's not true. We don't become God's children until He adopts us into His family. And that doesn't happen until we trust Jesus Christ. So, if you go to Galatians 4, the Bible teaches that now that we have been born again and we have been placed into the family of God, that we have a very special relationship with God. Galatians chapter 4, look if you would at verse 6. The Bible says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now that word Abba, if you look it up, is, if you had to find the equivalent word in today's English, it would be daddy or papa. An endearing term for our earthly father. And what God is saying is that now we can look upon our Creator with that same relationship that children have with their earthly parents. That's quite beautiful. And as a good father, He has placed boundaries for us. I mean, do we place boundaries for our children as we're raising them? Of course we do. Why? Because we don't love them? No, because we're trying to protect them, because we're good parents. And God's given us boundaries. He says, "I want these boundaries for how you speak and for your temper and for your desires and for your friendships and your entertainment and how you treat other people." God's given us a lot of boundaries in His Word as our Father. To what? Protect us. To essentially raise us as a good father would. Because He's our Father and we're His child. And He is developing us. Essentially, as we read in Romans 8:29, conforming us to the image of His perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He only has one perfect Son. The rest of us are doctrinally perfect, but in behavior, we all know the truth. So, what a beautiful thing that we have a Father that will always do what's best for us, always treat us well, and always do whatever it takes to mold and develop us and train us up that we might be more like Jesus. And that includes Hebrews 12, if you turn there. That includes the occasional chastisement, which we'd rather not face, but if you're truly a good parent to your earthly children, you're going to implement chastisement in their lives. As a matter of fact, God says if you don't, you're not a good parent in Proverbs. Notice Hebrews 12, the Bible says in verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." The day we were born again, we became the sons of God, the children of God. And our loving Father will do what's best for us, which sometimes even includes chastisement. So, what happened is in the Garden of Eden, this relationship was ruined when they fell. And it hasn't been completely restored until Jesus. Now, Israel as a nation could still say we are the children of God, but not in the same sense that we are the children of God. They didn't have what we have, which is this beautiful, unbroken bond of being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful thing that God has done for us through Christ's sacrifice. And so, do we fellowship with our Father? With our Abba? Our Daddy? Our Papa? Do we take time to talk to Him and thank Him and praise Him? Because we do our earthly fathers, hopefully. Do we do that with our Heavenly Father? Because He loves us, do we love Him in the same way? The Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength in Mark chapter 12. So He is our Father. And if you go back to our verse, Isaiah 64:8, the Bible says, we are the clay. So God is saying here that God loves us so much, He has given us this special bond of father and child, but He also is reminding us that He is our Creator as well. Which, of course, can't be said of our earthly fathers. So God is not only our Father in the truest sense, but He is our Creator. He is the one who took the clay, which is just a bunch of dirt, and made us. Go to Psalm 103:14 and we'll see this. Psalm 103:14. And so our Father is also, as we see here, our potter. Romans 103:14. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are what? Dust. He formed Adam of the dust of the ground. Remember? Genesis chapter 2, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what that means? It means that we have no place to say to God, you made a mistake. Matter of fact, it says that in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Nay, but who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We can't. We can't say to God, yes, you're my Father, but you made some mistakes when you made me. No, the Bible says He made us the way He wanted to make us. The disciples tried that one, didn't they, with the blind man? What did they say? Lord, who sinned that this man was born blind, himself or his parents? Jesus said, neither one. That's not how you're supposed to look at things. It's not about karma. Karma is not part of the Scriptures. God is our potter. We're just the clay. And as He says, the pot or the whatever the potter's making on the wheel can't say, oh, I don't want to be this shape. The potter has the perfect freedom to do whatever he wants with that clay. And God, as our Creator and our Father, can make us however He wants to make us, and has done so. And so as His children, we must also understand that we're just what He wants us to be. And that's good to know. And He says here, and we all are the work of Thy hand. So God actually created us, it says, for a purpose. That's good news. Go to Ephesians 2. You know, the Bible, the world is out looking for a purpose. Why am I here? Why am I on this earth? What's my purpose? And they look and they look and they try and they try all these different things and they just can't seem to find that fulfillment of this is why I'm on earth. This is why I'm here. You know why? Because they haven't looked to their Creator to find the answers. Because God did make us and God gave us a purpose. And that's to serve Him. Look at Ephesians 2. Well, all of us know 8 and 9, right? For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at the next verse. For we are His workmanship. He made us. He worked and created what He wanted for us. What's it say? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the Bible says that God created us in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship, created for what? Good works that we should walk in. So He's given us a purpose, and that purpose is to please Him, to serve Him, to glorify Him with our lives. Our Father wants us to be obedient children that love Him, that praise Him, that worship Him, that spend time with Him, that adore Him, that tell others about Him. But He created us and gave us a purpose. And if you go to John 8, we'll be reminded that the world can't make any of these claims. John 8:44. I alluded to this verse earlier, but we should look at it. Because here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And by the way, this was right after they had essentially accused our Savior of being an illegitimate child. here in John chapter 8. Can you imagine spending forever in hell finding out that you actually accused the perfect Son of God of being an illegitimate child? That's what they did. And after making this accusation against Christ, verse 39, they answered and said, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. What have I heard of God? Which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. They're essentially saying, we are Abraham's descendants, which makes us pure Jews. Who are you? We be not born of fornication like you were. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine. The regret. So we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So see how they've made the connection? Because we are Abraham's descendants, that makes us God's children. We have one Father, God. These are the Pharisees speaking to Christ. Look what Jesus says. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. If only they would have listened. And then verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Another one of the reasons why they condemned Christ to the cross. Speaking to the Jews that knew they were descendants of Abraham, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And because, verse 45, I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? In other words, who's going to accuse me of doing anything wrong? I'm perfect. Because they had just essentially accused him of being born of fornication. And then they accused him in verse 48 of having a devil. Imagine that. All over fatherhood. Who's the father? Who's our father? Well, praise God, if we're born again, the Creator's our father. If we're not born again, the devil's our father. Hallelujah, we have been given this amazing privilege and relationship, this bond with our Creator of being His child, and He is our Father. What is He want of us? He's created us for His purposes to please Him, just the way He wanted us to be. Now He's got a purpose for our lives. Please Him. Lord willing, we can fulfill our purpose, which is to serve and please and spend time with and honor and praise and worship our Father. Thou art our Father.